Two things I didn't expect. Pensions are FOMOing into Bitcoin. The State Investment Board of Wisconsin announces $163 million worth of Bitcoin ETFs. But if they would have listened to Swan's advice, they could have had $4.3 billion in gains. We'll show you how. And the other piece of news I didn't expect. Justin Trudeau's half-brother is a Bitcoiner. Three things I did expect. I expected today's inflation print to continue to run hot. I expected David Portnoy to FOMO into GME and AMC like a degenerate gambler. And I also expected that legacy bureaucrats like former SEC chairman would have an issue with GameStop. Welcome to Bitcoin Daily. I'm Dante Cook, head of Swan Business. All right, let's start with that random news that I didn't expect. Sometimes the apple does fall far from the tree. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's half-brother, Kyle Kemper, shares with Tucker Carlson that he's a Bitcoiner.
Can you name like a certain set of experiences that made you so different?
I mean, like, you know, being involved with the Ron Paul stuff back in the day, like listening to that, you know, to the crypto industry and participating, which was in the beginning, which was a lot of like libertarians, you know, coming together, looking at, you know, how do we solve for the Federal Reserve? How do we solve for decentralized peer-to-peer electronic cash,
which yes,
was Satoshi Nakamoto's vision? And then, you know, just being immersed within that group of people was, you know, very enlightening and very educational.
Who would have guessed? I'm not going to lie. When I watched this clip, I couldn't get over the fact that he looks like Mark Ribollet performing at Google's I.O. conference in a robe. Hurley, cut it. You gotta cut it, man. You know what I also didn't expect? That Wisconsin's State Board of Investment Advisors actually listened to some recommendations that Swan CIO Hafa Zaguri made about 8 months ago, that they should add Bitcoin to their retirement funds. On the Nakamoto Portfolio Gauntlet, they review different pension funds and retirement funds that should allocate a position of their portfolios into Bitcoin. And about 8 months ago, Hafa and the team recommended a 2% allocation to Bitcoin.
Ran the numbers, and this is the result. I'll jump to it very quickly. If you look here at the original portfolio, so this is a proxy. So what I did is I got what typical ETFs would be to each of those buckets, right? Ran the allocation, and then I ran it with a 1%, 2%, and 5% allocation first to see how it would have performed. So the original portfolio has good returns, right? We're talking about 6% returns, 6.16% historical returns with a volatility which measure risk of around 12%, right? So adding a 2% allocation, which is what I'm mentioning, the 6% could go up to 8%. So this is an incredible thing, right? You're just adding 2%, it brings returns up by more than 2% over time. Of course, this is backtested. Of course, this is looking at, you know, what has happened in the past. If, of course, Bitcoin had very good returns, but it gives a sense of the potential. And I think more importantly, as Greg was saying, in terms of the Sharpe ratio, which is a measure of risk-adjusted returns, right? So you see that adding Bitcoin, the returns go up to 8%. But also, and more importantly, right, you look at the overall volatility, it doesn't go up that much. It goes from 12.4 to 12.5. So when you look at the risk-adjusted returns, right, which is just a measure of adjusting risk by the volatility, it goes up significantly from 0.39 to 0.57. So in this portfolio, it makes a lot of sense to have Bitcoin. Answering Greg's question, if we go into an optimal Bitcoin allocation to the portfolio, trying to get to the optimal risk return, the right number is 6% for the portfolio. If you want to have equal risk, even an equal risk contribution, right, you're still Bitcoin is a 2% allocation, which is what we're proposing. So it makes a lot of sense. And just to cut to why that's the case, I think it's this chart just shows it very, very well. What is this? This is the correlation between Bitcoin and all other assets in this portfolio. So Bitcoin is this line right here. And you can see that, you know, it has no correlation pretty much among any other asset class. And if you look at all of the other assets compared to the portfolio, their correlation is very high, right, to the overall portfolio. Bitcoin has the lowest correlation to the overall portfolio, which again makes a lot of sense. It's a testament to, I think, a lot of the things we've seen. We run these numbers for a lot of different entities, individuals, right, corporations, endowments, foundations, and I'm still to find the portfolio where Bitcoin doesn't fit. At the end of the day, you know, if you have a diversified portfolio, it makes a lot of sense to have the exposure.
And just today, the Wisconsin State Investment Board announced $163 million worth of Bitcoin holdings. I did some quick math. If they would have allocated the same amount that they did into the Bitcoin ETFs into real Bitcoin 8 months ago, they would have had an increase of 139%. Their $163 million would have grown $226 million to $389.58 million. That's because when Hoffa and the team recommended this, the price of Bitcoin was just over $25,000. That $163 million is just a 0.1% or a tenth of a percent of their total assets under management, which sit at about $156 billion. So imagine if they actually would have put 2% of their fund into Bitcoin. That $3.12 billion would have turned into $7.4 billion, a $4.3 billion gain. That would have returned almost 4.8% of the entire fund. There's a ton of new investment activity coming from institutions into Bitcoin via the ETFs. But to be clear, the lion's share of assets still sit on the sideline and are not fully allocated to Bitcoin. And it's because they're probably still paying consulting fees to people like Jim Clayton, former SEC chairman, who always have a double standard. When stocks like Nvidia or Apple or Tesla or Microsoft or Berkshire Hathaway go up hundreds of percent in a year, they don't say that it's a mania, that it's gambling, that it's not investing. They do say that when things like GameStop or AMC or Bitcoin go up.
The short sellers didn't learn their lesson last time around. Second of all, retail investors are back with a vengeance, but you can't really call this investing either. These are massive swings. As a former SEC chair, what do you think when you look at all of this?
Well, it bothers me. It bothers me on many levels. I think your last guest got it right. It's a lot closer to gambling than it is to trading, and it's certainly not investing.
Okay, I'll admit, people are going a little crazy right now. Like our favorite fan and favorite guy on the show, Dave Portnoy, who FOMO'd $500,000, $250 into GME and $250 into AMC right before the closing bell yesterday.
We're back. We're so fucking back. I can't even believe how back we are. Like it's day two in this Nantucket house. I'm going to have 9,000 Nantucket houses. I'm going to buy this whole fucking island. So yesterday, I was like, should I get in? Should I get in on, and we got 5 minutes before the bell. Should I get in on AMC? Should I get in on GameStop, GME? And I said, I can't miss it. I said, I can't miss it. I have FOMO. So I called in. I did what I had to do. Now, let me be honest. I'm honest about what I do here. I wish I bought more. I bought half a million, so 250 each. I divided it. This thing is going to the fucking moon. I should have bought a million, fine. I was a pussy, I was a little pussy boy. Fine, whatever. I bought 500 grand. I said, I gotta be involved. What are we doing today? It's up 138% AMC right now. GameStop's up 123%. I'm up close to 700 grand. We're going to keep piling.
And although Dave Portnoy is a very public figure, it's easy to understand why the everyday person would gamble with their savings. Public debt continues to soar. Inflation is ripping right now. And as you hear from this clip, almost every inflation print that came out today was double the expectations that any agency had for it.
April read on producer price index, the wholesale inflation gauge, up 0.5% on headline, up 0.5%. That's up 0.5%, and that is the hottest read, well, just since February when it was up 0.6. And if we look at ex food and energy, same number, more than double expectations, as Becky pointed out, up half a 1%. That is the hottest read there. It equals January. You have to go to July of last year to get a hotter read. Another hot read is X Food, Energy, and Trade. It's up 0.4, exactly double expectations. To find a hotter read, you have to go to January of this year when it was up 0.6.
And consumers are feeling it as credit card, mortgage, auto loan, and home equity loan delinquencies are all up sharply in Q1 of 2024. Student loans on this chart is down because that won't be reported for another 30 days. And you know the government's going to manipulate that number. So where is the average person to turn with their money? By just putting it into normal investment vehicles or normal stock indices, they're not really outpacing inflation. With growing inflation, growing expenses, and wages not rising as fast, the only option that they have is to gamble. Or they can invest into an asset like Bitcoin, which gives them maximum return potential, but also maximum freedom potential that can't be stopped, that can't be halted, like GameStop has been for the last several days. Bitcoin not only provides maximum upside, but it provides freedom money. And so like we've been saying on this show every single day, there is an opportunity to escape the basement. But until Bitcoin's big rally, I'll be watching like Michael Jackson with a bowl of popcorn as GME and AMC take down corporate Wall Street yet again. So have a good one, everyone. Tomorrow, we won't be recording an episode because I have an opportunity to go down to watch the PGA practice tour at Valhalla in Louisville with my son. It'll be a good father-son day. Hopefully it's not raining like it is today. Tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern, we have a Swan Signal Live with Sam Callahan, Senior Bitcoin Research Analyst at Swan, and Managing Partner Zach Shapiro from Rains LLP Law Firm, who's also a fellow at the Bitcoin Policy Institute, to talk about all the regulatory developments happening in Bitcoin and cryptocurrency at large right now, and specifically legal actions being taken against Samurai Wallet and Tornado Cash Developer that we saw come out today. You're not going to want to miss this one. The legal landscape is going to be an important one to follow over the coming weeks and months as Bitcoin continues its rapid institutional adoption while corporate Wall Street continues to block the exits and the doors to not let people out of the existing financial system. Tune in 1 p.m. Eastern for Swan Signal Live tomorrow. And with that, this is Dante Cook with Swan.com. Happy stacking.